Welcome to Coaching the Coach. I'm your host, Pete Townley, for the Upstate Performance Project. Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about the keto diet. We're also going to be talking about intermittent fasting. And we're also going to talk about a little motivation. I'm going to start with the first two, though. Now, in keeping with what we want to do with this podcast, we want everything to be educational and particularly aiming at you guys who are coaches, who are trainers, chiropractors, massage therapists, anyone in this, you know, health and fitness and wellness industry. To build you up, to get you more knowledge to use in your practicing, and to give you some ideas on how to work with other people, because it's not always easy, and especially for those of you starting out, it can be really discouraging, you know, trying to interpret all of these potential personalities that your clients can have, and difficult situations that they might bring you. So again, my goal here, as always, is to educate and to make sure that you guys understand what you're trying to do is help you gain some knowledge. But the biggest thing that I want to do, I kind of think the overreaching theme, and I've mentioned it once or twice before, is critical thinking skills. Okay, so all of these topics that we've talked about, motivation, training, the programming stuff we're going to do on the YouTube page, everything that we've been talking about boils down to critical thinking. If you can see something, hear something, read something, if you are just coming across information, whether it really speaks to you or it kind of pumps the brakes a little bit in your mind, go research it yourself. Even after listening to this, go look up some of the stuff I'm talking about. Okay? I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. But I have been around for quite a while, and I've seen fads and trends come and go. I've been well educated in this, and I've been working with it for a while. And so one of the things that I want to bring to the forefront, which I've heard others say, but I want to echo this because I think it's that important, is that when it comes to your diet, when it comes to your exercise choice, when it comes to all of these things, it is personal. And my biggest problem when I was a young trainer was I was very quick to criticize. Now, I wasn't vocal about it. In other words, I didn't go after someone. I didn't call people out. I wasn't a troll. But I was, among my circle of friends, like, oh gosh, I can't believe they did that. Or that's not right. That's not right. They shouldn't be doing that. And, this, when I say early on, I'm talking about 21, 22, 23. I'm just learning it in my master's degree. I'm in undergrad. I'm learning all this stuff. And so it's fresh in my mind, and then I see something completely different, and I'm like, no, that's not what we learned in class, no. And I've learned over time that, again, not everything you learn in the textbook is still correct, because times do change. New developments have happened. But more importantly, the bigger picture here is what is it that we're trying to do? We're trying to get people active. And yes, each one of us in this fitness world has their own take on what is perfect, or maybe not perfect, well, what is ideal. I know what ideally I would have all of my clients do. I know what ideally I would have anyone that asked me for help, what I would have them do. But I also know that there's a lot of different ways out there to get the results. And some things may not be ideal, but it fits that person. Or they like it. It's motivating for them. So far be it from me to take away someone's chosen form of exercise. Now, if they're not seeing progress, if they're getting hurt, if they're stalling in any sort of manner, yeah, I might interject and offer a solution. But rather than say, oh, look at that guy doing those exercises, or look at this girl doing this, that's not going to help her. And maybe that's not the perfect thing that person needs at that time. But we have to realize that making the change to start exercising is very much a personal struggle for some. And just coming into the gym is a small victory. And so, you know, the minute we go and start critiquing them, that just validates all of their fears. So you have to be really careful. And that goes with diet as well. Now, not being a nutritionist, or I mean, I have a sports nutrition certification, but I'm not a registered dietitian. I don't know all there is to know about food, but I do know physiology. And I do know, you know, when I hear people say things online about certain diets, the reason it irks me, or the reason that I you know, think about it a lot, is because the information that's out there gets in the hands of people that don't necessarily understand all of the background and all of the nuances that there could be. And so they see that it seemingly coming from a trusted source, so it's taken as fact, in which it may be very misleading. It may be misleading because that person's trying to sell a product. It may be misleading because that person really doesn't know. They think they know. The heart's in the right place, but they're just giving wrong information. Or they're just representing some company that's telling them what to say, and they have no idea one way or the other what they're talking about. And all of those situations are out there. I guarantee you, if you look back at all 70 some odd podcasts I've done, I may have said something that was factually incorrect. I don't think so, but it's possible. And I wouldn't shy away from it if I did. And so that's why I try never to make, you know, big, bold, absolute statements, especially when it comes to writing someone's program, and especially when it comes to their diet, because there's so many different ways you can do things. So when you, going back to the whole idea of critical thinking, and that's how I want you guys to put the critical thinking ear filters on. So when you hear what I'm about to say, you're thinking of it through this lens of critical thinking skills, or using your critical thinking skills. So the thought is, the keto diet is very popular right now. And let me just start off, before I even get into it, saying I'm not a hater on the keto diet. I'm not a detractor. I'm not trying to say don't do it. All I want people to know, it's same with intermittent fasting. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying it can't be done. I've tried it. And I'm not saying, well, I tried it, it didn't work for me, so it's not going to work for anybody else. It didn't work for me, intermittent fasting, because of my schedule. My schedule is not conducive for eating that way. I would have to be, timing-wise, I would have to be eating with all of my clients, like eating my full meals and while I'm training my clients. And that's obviously just not going to be good. And I'm awake a lot longer than ideal, so... It's not a great fit for me. It would not be a helpful diet for my lifestyle. Now, maybe if my schedule changes, it might be something I look into. But intermittent fasting, keto, paleo, whatever you're looking at, you have to understand, when someone's telling you the benefits of any kind of diet, any kind of meal timing plan like intermittent fasting or anything like that, that, you know, you do the research, you look at several different sites. A quick scan, you know, if you type in intermittent fasting or keto, you're going to get several articles. And the top articles may be ones that are paid for by companies that have a particular keto recipe or something, or a supplement to go with a ketogenic diet. And so you're going to get positive after positive after positive after positive article. And again, I'm not saying what they're saying is wrong. It's just, it may not be giving you the full truth because they're trying to sell a product. Right? So look at peer-reviewed journals. or at least scroll to the second or third page of your Google search and try to find a cross section of articles. And some things will make sense, some things won't, but that will spur your thought into other areas to go research. Again, I could sit here and go over the keto diet, and I could tell you things about it, and I'm happy to do that if you guys have some direct message questions you can send me. I'll answer them as best I can. But again, I'm not trying to debate the effectiveness of it. I'm just trying to tell people, when they hear something, don't take it at face value. Go and look it up. So let me use the ketogenic diet as a reference. So this is one I've gotten a lot lately, and one that I've been particularly interested in because it's actually crossed my mind to try it. It sounded okay, but I remember way back when I was studying all of this in grad school, and we were learning about ketoacidosis and, you know, being in starvation mode and developing these ketones and how your body can survive off of them, but there's still significant, you know, impairment to function in the body, optimal function that is, because carbohydrates are not there, and there are certain things in your body that work better with carbohydrates. Not to say that they can't work on ketones. That's not to be, don't get that mixed up. But that's what you may hear. So you might hear something saying, oh, well, ketones can't function on them. Well, you can. But your body does, you know, in certain scenarios, certain types of exercise, certain energy systems, although can function with ketones, may function better, more optimally, with carbohydrate, like your phosphagen system. Okay, so again, you might hear things like that and not follow it up with, oh, okay, it can work this way. Like you can, build muscle, or you can do this or do that, but you may not be doing it optimally. And if you look into, you know, who's really doing a keto diet all the time versus phasing it in and out during different types of phases of training. Okay. So if you are following something like we do here, periodization, and, you know, looking, training like athletes, we are going to periodize our training over the year, and we'll have different phases. So if you are in a phase where we're working on muscular endurance or cardiovascular endurance, a ketogenic diet may be a really good way to help you use fat as a fuel source, right? And we might be able to do that during that phase, and then slowly come out of that and introduce more carbohydrates as we're entering more of a strength training phase, okay? Now, if we're training one rep maxes, like a weightlifter or, you know, power lifter, that type of training, you know, you might be able to use keto with some success because, again, even though you're using the phosphagen system, your duration, your intensity is super maximally high for a very short time. Therefore, during your recovery, which, you know, if you are using proper work to rest ratios, you're going to have a recovery time 2 to 4 minutes. You're going to synthesize enough ATP from glucose or glycogen to be able to do that again and have enough energy from the sugars to do that again and not even have to really utilize the ketones, you know, if you're in ketosis. So if you're trying to, you know, shed some body fat but maintain strength, and you're a strength and power athlete like that, then, you know, okay, fine. An endurance athlete, like I said, fine. But even with an endurance athlete, I don't want them to not be able to use those carbs when they need them. So if we have too many ketones in our body becomes insulin resistant. And so the insulin or the muscle stores are there with the sugar, but we may not be able to access it because, you know, the insulin sensitivity is down, or there's so many of those ketones in our blood. So what we what we want to do is make sure that if we're going to use that diet or an intermittent fasting diet, that we use it, you know, differently throughout the year, or we phase in and out of it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, changing your dietary needs or your nutrition timing based on what type of phase you're in your programming. And I think that's where a lot of these diets go wrong, or a lot of the haters get it wrong. Even if they don't like it, I think they can, you know, hate on it unfairly. I'm not a huge proponent of any of these particular ideas. I think you can eat a well-balanced diet year-round. But there are certain scenarios. I'm a good example right now. As we know, I tested my body fat the other day. I'm at 15%, which if I was going to continue to weightlift, that's not bad. I can maintain that without affecting my performance whatsoever. And if I wanted to drop a few pounds of body fat to either drop down a class or get to be the lightest in my weight class, I could do that. But right now I do have a goal of getting down to 8%, but I do want to continue to build muscle and I do want to continue to get stronger. So it's conceivable that if I were to keep hitting those numbers that I'm trying to do, that it may not be a bad idea. However, because I'm going to be doing a lot of conditioning, a lot of athletic movements, running, sprints, repeated sprints, all of these things, I'm probably going to need more carbohydrate. My body's going to perform better because it uses carbs better than it uses ketones. It's, you know, when I train those energy systems. And so the thought is this: if I want to optimally get the training benefit I want, the hormonal response I want from training, from the training I'm doing at the particular phase I'm at, then I'm going to need that train that energy system most optimally. So it all goes back to what your goals are and what you're training for. So if you're training for fat loss, and yeah, you might want to train like an athlete and do sprints, do kettlebell swings, sled pushes, cone drills, ladder, you know, all of those kinds of things while you're lifting heavy. Even if I just said, yeah, well, it may not be the best for optimal performance and optimal muscle building. I didn't say it couldn't improve. I said optimal. That's the key word. If your goal is to, you know, maintain what you have and burn some fat, then yeah, you might be able to get away with a keto diet or something like that. Right? That's your goal, though. If your goal is performance and your goal is muscle building, and you're in a phase where you're trying to, you know, go through some hypertrophy or strength gains, then again, your body's going to use a particular fuel system, and you need to fuel that system with the optimal type of fuel. So again, just take a step back, and anytime you read an article or hear something that says you should do this or you shouldn't do this, if they're speaking in absolutes, that's generally a red flag to say, okay, let me really dive deep into this. So there's some ads that you see on Instagram or YouTube that will, you know, be a proponent of one thing or another. And I'm not even knocking what they're saying or what their product or diet plan or meal plan they're pushing. It's the way they market it to you. They're going to throw some things out there that sound good. And then they're going to tell you that this is the best way, the optimal way to do it. You know better. And again, I'm speaking to you trainers here. I'm not speaking to those of you who are clients or members or average gym goers, because again, I want you guys to seek out, you can look this stuff up yourself. So you can take this information, but what I really want to see is practitioners doing the research. So when someone comes to them, they can answer intelligently. So let me give you a quick example. Back when I took the job at the hospital, Ransom Memorial Hospital back in Ottawa, I got in the interview process late. I found out about the job. They had already conducted several interviews, and I kind of came in on the tail end, and they squeezed me in. They're like, if you can get here at this time, this day, we'll see. Otherwise, you know, we technically have already closed that door. But we like what we saw on your resume, so we're willing to give you a chance. So I came in and, you know, I think the interview went well. Everything was going fine. I didn't, I had a good rapport with the lady interviewing me who ended up being my boss. And she is a registered dietitian. And again, I knew that. And I knew that part of the wellness team, she would be, as part of the wellness team, she would be someone I would be working closely with. So obviously I needed to fit well with her because she was already there. She was going to be my boss. I needed to be, you know, someone that she thought she could work with. So she asked me a question. She said, what if you are out here and someone comes in and asks you about the Atkins diet, or they're telling you, I'm going to start the Atkins diet. What are you going to say? So a little context here. First of all, my supervisor at the time, she did not approve of the Atkins diet necessarily. In other words, that wasn't her chosen form of dietary intervention. And she wasn't necessarily looking for me to support or go against it. She wanted to see how I would answer it. And she was looking for something. And the way I answered it was very honest. And it's the way I had approached it before, because I had been asked that question many times at that point. And you got to remember, in the early 2000s, that was peak Atkins diet era. And so, what I said was, you know, if someone comes in and says, "Hey, Pete, I'm going to start this diet. It's the Atkins diet. This is what it's telling me I need to eat. This is how I'm going to do it. What do you think?" I said, "Okay, well, you know, just let me tell you, here's what that's going to do. Here's the type of training you're telling me you're going to do. Here's what that diet is going to do from you from a macronutrient standpoint, an energy standpoint, and an energy usage standpoint. So I'm not telling you not to use it. I just want you to understand how it's going to affect you. And if you still want to do it, then please go ahead." In other words, the way I answered it was, I want you to have all the information you can have about this particular diet before you just do it. In other words, this person hypothetically reads it in a magazine or sees a documentary on it and says, "Oh yeah, that looks cool. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to try it." So when they come to me, they're looking for validation. If I say, "Oh no, that's terrible. You should never do that." Even if that's how I felt, I'm not going to sit there and say, "Oh no, that's terrible. You should never do that. It's terrible." Because that, again, as I go back to what we said at the top of the podcast, that could kill someone's motivation. Now, even if I don't want them to follow that diet, I'm going to give them the information, I'm going to open that door, and I'm going to show them where I want them to go look and helpfully come upon that information themselves. And again, I'm always there to help. And by doing so, I'm allowing them to know that I have knowledge in this situation and that I can help answer questions. Because although I didn't say, "Oh yeah, that's totally great, go for it," or "No, that's terrible, don't do it," I put a question in their mind. I made them go back and think, "Do I really want to do this? Is this something I really want to do? Let me look into it a little bit more." And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create that critical thinking, as I've said before. Now, I read a post the other day from someone I respect, someone I wholeheartedly respect as a trainer, and I totally understand where their post was coming from. But they were talking about the 80-20 rule and how they don't like the 80-20 rule, and that's a disaster. That's this recipe for disaster. They even went through this whole formula about, you know, if you do everything at 80%, you know, it comes out to like 55% or something like that of everything that you're trying to accomplish. And you know, I think the 80-20 rule is not necessarily to be taken exactly literally. Their argument was it's giving the client, you know, a low bar to shoot for. And again, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. So if they're not going to be able to push themselves and get to that certain level, then why even try? Because it's just going to be lackluster. You're going to have very average results, if any. And so he's right to a certain degree. And as a trainer, I want people to go for that 100% all the time. But I also know that there is life. There are roadblocks. There are things that are going to come in and throw you off your game. And if the person is not motivated that way, you know, then they're going to fail. Now, take me for example. And again, I'm not perfect, but I am the type of person that I could and can go with absolutes like that. I don't have to do 80-20. I can strive for 100% all the time because I don't mind cutting big things out of my diet. I don't mind making big sweeping changes. Because if I fail, like if I say I'm never having a soda ever again, and then I have a soda next week, you know, just absentmindedly, I forgot, oh, I had one. It's not gonna derail my progress. I'm not gonna say, oh man, I can't do this. This is terrible. Okay. I don't have that problem, thankfully. So me shooting for making changes and compromising them at 80-20, yeah, I probably wouldn't do. But when I'm working with a client who's brand new, who's coming into you, who's trying to make a change, the author of this post did even say that a lot of trainers use it as a buy-in tool. You know, like, hey, come on in. Yeah, you don't have to do it 100%. Just 80% of the time, do what you need to do. 20% of the time, go have fun, do whatever you want. Because we're never going to measure exactly, oh, I've had 80% of what I'm supposed to be doing. I can just chill out the rest of the week. No, that's not the goal. The goal of the 80-20 rule, at least in my opinion, and the way I coach it, is giving that person a little bit of leeway to understand that, look, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But just because you make a mistake does not mean that you've completely failed. You should still strive for 100%. That should be the goal. The goal is never 80%. And I think that's what the author was trying to say. Don't even open the door a little bit 80%. Tell them it's 100%. Make sure they get there. And if they don't have the fire to get there, then that's on them. And I like that attitude. And if I'm training athletes, you better believe that's where I'm going. But, you know, we have people of all shapes, sizes, demeanors, you know, they're motivated in different ways. And you can't do that with everybody. That's going to throw some people off. And if you have to ease them into the game, ease them into the game and then educate them on why you want them to keep striving for 100%. Or in the case of if they really want to do Atkins diet, okay, if it's going to be better than eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos and a bunch of other crap, okay. If you don't like the Atkins diet, and I'm not panning the Atkins diet, I'm just saying, if you don't like it and you don't want your client to use it, you can tell them that. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, I would prefer this, but I understand, let's get you started. If you're comfortable with this, we can start here and then we can go from there. And that gives you the opportunity to make the changes, but it also validates their decision. If they've been researching, even if their research isn't great, but they've decided to make this choice on their own, they've done that exploration, they've done the preparation, and they've decided this is what it's gonna do and this has motivated them to make the change. If you come in and say, oh, no, that's terrible, I wouldn't do it that way, you're probably gonna lose them. Not just lose them as a client for you, but you might lose them in the sense of they're not gonna follow through with making the change. So you gotta be careful on what you tell people, and you gotta be careful on what you read and what advice you follow, even mine. All I'm trying to get through with this post is go do the critical thinking and the research yourself. Don't be afraid to take some time to look at an old textbook or read some peer-reviewed articles. Or like I said, if you're doing a simple Google search, don't just take the top three as gospel and say, oh, well, the top three support this or deny this or whatever. Do the digging. Does it make sense? Does it fit with things that you've read before? You know, for example, if I'm reading something about the keto diet and they're telling me that the keto diet is perfect for, CrossFitters, I might, that might raise a flag for me because I'm trying to think what energy systems they're using, and they're using a lot of different energy systems, some that need, that can totally thrive off of fat and totally thrive off of carbohydrates. But, you know, so I'm trying to think, wait, that doesn't really jive. Let me look up, I might even have to go back and look up, you know, how ketones are used. That's okay. If you don't remember all that, go look it up. Go find that answer. Because when you talk to your clients about it, you need to have good information, and you need to be honest and not just taking what you find right off the internet on the first couple of pages. Now, that may be right. That may be the perfect answer. But you need to cross-reference it. You got to play devil's advocate here. You got to look at things from different angles before you give an informed answer, if you don't already know off the top of your head. So, again, I may not have, you know, answered everything or told you what you wanted to hear about keto. Again, I'm not trying to say this is good or bad, or this is when you should use it and when you shouldn't. There's plenty of people out there that you can get that. And I'll be happy to go through detail. Just direct message me, or even better yet, DMs work great, but text messages. I like texting as far as my preferred method of communication. 864-320-7830. Just text me. Again, tell me you heard me on the podcast and ask me your question. And I'll answer your question, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. And the thought is, I'm not using this vehicle, this podcast, as a way to put more information about the keto diet, because there are very reputable, credible people that are already out there telling you about all this stuff and that are giving good information about this stuff. But so I don't need to replicate that. What I want to do is motivate you guys to be critical thinkers and to be the ones that are doing the research, that don't just react, that don't just take what they see on the first couple Google searches and use that as their answer, or they're basing their, you know, answers on. And secondly, if you decide that you, let's say you do follow a keto diet or an intermittent fast, and you've had great success with it, that's awesome. And if you want to help someone do that, or help someone get the results you got, again, understand that their situation may be different than yours. Their timing of meals, or their schedules are different than yours. You know, it's not always going to work, right? It's not always going to be perfect, even if it works for you. So you have to be careful as a trainer to not spout the benefits of one thing or another. Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. You got to try it. Okay, maybe it will work for them, and that'd be great if it did. And again, I know I've kind of talked in circles here, but again, the whole point is, I hear a lot of misinformation out there. And because of my age and the length of time I've been in the industry, I've heard a lot of conflicting ideas when it comes to different diets and different meal timing plans. Why this one works, why it doesn't work, why this is optimal, why this is optimal. And they're contradictory, and they can be hard to decipher. And I think my ending final thought would be, they all have some merits in different situations. And it's up to you, the trainer, to understand when those situations are and when it's appropriate to advocate something like that for your client, versus saying, you know, maybe you should try this at this point, and here's why. Okay? So again, not a slam on keto, not a slam on intermittent fasting, not a slam on Atkins or paleo or anything like that. Now, I've said it before, I'm not a huge fan of any diet that restricts any major macronutrient, but I understand how some of those diets and meal plans and meal timing plans can work the way they say they're going to work. And that's great. If you fit that scenario, and if that's what you're after, then try it. You just have to understand that that's not necessarily the way you're going to eat the rest of your life, and you have to be able to, you know, phase in and phase out a quote regular balanced diet based on the situation of your goals, your training goals, and what type of training you're doing. All right. please text me if you have any questions. I don't know how you guys listen to this, whether it's on Podbean or iTunes. So it may be hard to message via the app that you're listening on, but you can always go to our Instagram and hit us up on a direct message. Or like I said, 864-320-7830. I'll text you back as soon as I can. Have a good one.